It's April 6th, 2015. It's about 20 minutes or two in the afternoon. And there was a couple quick notes I just wanted to capture. I was busy doing some chores and I was just kind of rolling a few things through my mind about my first presentation. So I just want to kind of real quick capture what I was thinking about. The first thing I thought was, I was thinking about approaching it from the perspective of kind of like the Wizard of Oz, inviting others to take a peek behind the curtain to see the master's craft, to see the wizard's craft. And so, you know, it's about, you know, I'm not saying that I know everything, far from that. It's just I'm wishing or offering to add my little thimbleful of what I suspect is true. And that's all I really mean by offering or inviting others to take a peek behind the curtain to render transparent the veil of complexity. So, you know, simplify, simplify, simplify. The second thing that struck me was the concept about how nothing, so the wizard didn't give anything to the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow that they didn't already have. You know, it's in that song, Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. It's the potential or the capacity already exists. It's about awakening that potential or that capacity. It's about cardinal awakenings. It's about awakening us up, awakening us to the capacity or the potential that we have. And that's why I use that term that we live in the gap. We live in the gap between our current state of being and what we have the potential of becoming. So the other thing, oh, and there was a third thing that kind of struck me. As I was doing some of my background or preparatory research, I researched some of the current offerings, and the closest I felt like I could come to what I'm offering outside of just a pure philosophical system, outside offering training for enlightenment, which, of course, I think that is the most direct path to the quest, you know, so, but that isn't always, I don't know how to say it. It's just in our current culture, you know, it's kind of like you have to look at portals of what is trending now. And the one portal that I felt like was similar to my chosen discipline is, or at least the outward sharing of that, it was life coach. And so I did some research, and I think I actually did a short, maybe 40-minute interviews or half-hour interviews or sessions, I should say, with two or three life coaches just to kind of sample what they do, what they offer. So anyway, in the end, the one thing that struck me, the session that I felt like she was the most tuned in and gifted, there was one thing that I felt like was off track. Sounds good, but I think in the end, it's a misdirection. And that was, she made the statement to me that people, they don't get in touch with you for enlightenment. What they're seeking is an end to their pain. And what she said was, all they want to know is that you know the answer. And I have just never have approached, I don't think that's, I don't think in my system, I don't think that's the true source of power on how you can help guide someone else in helping themselves. Because in the end, as I've always said, the information is a consumable. It doesn't become a durable until it's converted. And one of, honestly, the main principle of that conversion is practice. It's about the practice. Knowing's not enough. Knowing is of potential value. The only true actual value is an application, and that is the practice. And the beauty of the practice is what's worthy will be reinforced through their direct observations and experiences, through their experimentation, through their practice. They'll know what's worthy. They'll know what is worthy of being converted to a durable knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. They'll know that through their practice. And of course, as I've said, that also allows them to become as a beacon to others. We teach best by example. We learn best through experience. So I think these are some of the first principles. So anyway, I was just kind of trying to think, my very first video is going to be about say what you're gonna do. That was, again, the keep it simple, stupid. Say what you're gonna do, do it, say what you've done. So I'm gonna invite, my purpose is to invite others to take a peek behind the curtain of the wizard to see what it means to be in an active practice of the master's craft, and to help them to understand that there's nothing here that is being transferred to them. It's there, there's I guess really what I'm trying to say is nothing is being added. Most of what I, the capacity or the potential, we're living in that gap. It already exists within them, but it's unactualized. It lies dormant within them, asleep, if you will. It hasn't been stirred up. But of course, again, as scripture says, that wisdom, oftentimes is folly to the, I don't remember the word now, but to the, to individuals that live at base. It's just pure, to them, from their perspective, it's pure folly. It takes someone who is seeking, who is they know, they're aware that there's something that's lacking, and they're open to it. Maybe not actively seeking it, but at least they're aware there's something. And if exposed, there can be a conversion, an awakening awareness that happens within them. But again, that potential already exists. It's not, nothing, something, it's not something that's being added. Now, can the journeyman or the master help guide another individual in their quest? Yes, I do believe that. Of course, you know, in my system of thought, the master is the most qualified. But yeah, the answer is yes. They can help guide them, but really the application, the practice, it's all up to them. No one can do that work for them. They have to do it for themselves. So basically those were the three things: the peek behind the curtain, just to understand the activities of the wizard, engaging in the master's craft. Nothing's added. The potential, the capacity already exists. Oz never did give anything to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And third, I don't think the power is in the answer. The power is in the question. And in fact, in my notes, I speak to the power of the concept of Mu when it is made known to the seeker that the answer that they seek lies outside the boundaries of that were framed by the original question. So the answer lies out that they seek lies outside the boundaries of the question that they've asked. So the Mu concept basically says the first step in order to discover what they seek, to find what they seek, is they have to unask the original question. Quality questions lead to quality answers. They have to reframe the question. So the power is in the question. And so what I'm saying is I've spent decades trying to formulate and understand those quality questions. And I suspect that some of those quality questions have led to quality answers, to information that I wish to share. But I stake no claims. All I can do is stand and point to what I suspect is true. It's up to others to entertain it, and if they entertain it, to attempt to falsify it. And through their practice, their experimentation, observations and experiences, they will either verify that there is truth in it, or they will falsify it. And I don't think, when it comes to the answer that an individual seeks, I don't think it's one size fits all. I think, you know, asking the questions can lead to very different answers for different individuals. We all have different temperaments. We all have different passions, interests. So that's why I'm not inclined to put too much value on a pat answer, on a one-size-fits-all answer. Anyway, that's all for now. Signing off.